Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Today, really excited to be having a conversation about digital marketing. But before I get to introduce my guest to you, just a little note that if you are a dental practice owner and you're looking to grow your practice, to have more patients, have more revenue, have more profit, have some more time off indeed, then you're going to want to come across to the Savvy Dentist Facebook group. And in that group, we have some training, some tips, some strategies, some tactics to help you achieve all of those outcomes. In essence, to create a practice and a life that you love. All you've got to do is either search for Savvy Dentist in Facebook or come across to drjessegreen.com/Facebook and we'll get you in there and come and enjoy it, hang out with us and we'll have some fun. But now my guest is someone who I've met recently who has got a really interesting way at looking at digital marketing, something that really impresses me. My guest today is Will Arana, and Will is the founder and CEO of Dental Boss. Dental Boss is a digital marketing agency, but before Will was involved in digital marketing, he is a graduate from RMIT in Melbourne with a business degree. Has been an elite digital marketer with years of experience, 5 to 6 years of experience. He's managed, over $1 million of ad spends on social media alone. And of course, what I really like about Dental Boss and what they're doing is how they've reworked the digital marketing model. And that is really what we're going to talk about today. So Will, firstly, good to have you on the show. How are you, mate?
Very good, Jesse. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate your time in doing so. Thanks for having me on board.
It's my pleasure, mate. Look, when I was introduced to you the other day, the mutual friend who introduced us said to me, Jesse, I think you're going to really like Will because he thinks differently. And I really, that always attracts my attention. It always lights me up. And when I met you, it became very apparent that you think differently about digital marketing, which we will get to in a moment. But I'm always curious to ask Will, digital marketing is not something that most people think about when they're at high school. It's not on any career form that I'm aware of, at least. How did you find your path into digital marketing? What was your journey into that space?
Yes, absolutely. So I guess when I first came here to Australia, I always knew that I wanted to be in business. So I did a business degree. And of course, through doing a business degree, we had like marketing courses and stuff like that. But when I finished university, I sort of realized that having a job and I wasn't fully happy and it wasn't really for me. So I started really reading a lot and doing a lot of personal development. That's where I found about digital marketing and sort of online businesses. So that is where really I got into digital marketing, through a lot of personal development. I'm still, I constantly read and I'm always developing my skills in that aspect. But yeah, that's sort of when it started for me, really pretty much, I would say, like obsessed with like digital marketing and everything to do with online business and online business strategy and helping business grow with the online technologies and the strategies that we have handy nowadays.
Mate, I really love that because, we spoke a little while ago and I've got a background in digital marketing as well, and I've moved a little out of that space, but my foray into digital marketing came through affiliate marketing, and
that's a fun one to have.
I know, and all the crazy products that you can sell online, right? The heaps of things. But it was fun, and I learned a lot from it. And I think the thing that I really enjoy about digital marketing is it's measurable. There's lots of data. You're using data to make decisions, etc. So I wanted to ask you, what is it that you really love about the digital marketing space? What is it that lights your fire?
Well, absolutely the data. That is something beautiful. And one thing that I always try to help people that work with me achieve is knowing your cost per acquisition for anything that you're trying to do, right? Yep. If you're selling products online, or if you're trying to get an Invisalign patient through the door, or an implants or a loan on for patient, if you can get to the point that throughout data and through digital marketing, you can learn and know what's your cost per acquisition, and you can repeatedly and predictably repeat this process over and over again, it's pretty much game over. Like once you know that your cost per acquisition, your CPA, it's $400 to $500 for an Invisalign case, for example, and you're making $6,000 to $7,000 of revenue on the back end, then, you know, it's like a numbers game, essentially. So that's one thing that I really love about digital marketing, getting to the point that by the data, you can predictively know how much it's costing you to acquire a customer. And when I speak with dentists, a lot of the times, they most often don't have the answer to this question because they're not doing digital marketing yet, or if they've done it, they probably haven't worked with the right person. So one, as a business owner, once you know how much it's costing you to acquire a customer, it's a beautiful thing to go through, you know? So that's definitely one of the things that I really love about digital marketing, that allows you to understand what are the processes and have a repeatable process to get new customers pretty much on demand.
Yeah, I love that. And of course, it's one of those things is if you've got an engine that you can just pour more petrol into and make it go faster and faster and faster, then that's fantastic. I just want to talk a little bit about digital marketing and agencies. And for the listeners to this show, you'll know that I had an agency in digital marketing, and that ultimately morphed into the work I do now, which is coaching, consulting. And there's some really strong reasons why I moved out of the agency model. And I'd like to talk about the traditional agency model. When I was running the agency, there was a few things that I noticed. Well, there's some things that bothered me, but there's some things I felt uncomfortable with. And I just want, and you'll be across this, and there's probably more things you want to add to it. But for me, what I found is the things that I felt uncomfortable about at the time was, you know, if I could make the phone ring, if I could generate a phone call or a lead as the agency, I never knew what was happening in that conversation. I didn't know whether those leads were being converted. I didn't know whether those patients would get an appointment, or if the receptionist was having a bad day or didn't have the skills or whatever it is. You know, I thought there could be wastage of leads. But equally, from the practice owner's point of view, they don't necessarily want leads. They want patients. So that's another thing. The other thing that frustrated me in that process as well is that sometimes you'd have a campaign that would work really, really brilliantly, but trying to replicate it elsewhere was not always straightforward. And so, again, this is going back to the traditional agency model. And the final thing that frustrated me is that oftentimes we'd be talking about branding and colors and fonts versus outcomes and results. Right. Yeah. So could you just give me your view of the traditional digital agency model? Because I know you're not that. And because I want to let people know what the norm in inverted commas is so that they can understand what you're doing, why it's different.
Yeah, of course. So number one, like the main difference is that when we do digital marketing, we only focus on the strategies that are going to bring revenue like tomorrow, pretty much, that are going to start bringing patients like from the time we turn the campaigns on. So, you know, SEO and AdWords and a lot of these different strategies and websites, of course, they're extremely important, but I just focus on the strategies that are going to bring results pretty much now, like very quickly, which is a lot of social media advertising and online funnels and stuff like that. I'm really not against different strategies, but I'm very like towards using strategies that translate into revenue. You know, revenue generating strategies for the practices, such as the one that we just discussed, like social media ads and funnels, which we'll get into very shortly. But the thing is that even with this package of different techniques and strategies that can be used to grow practice, there is still a lot of issues. And a lot of them are similar to the ones that you just discussed, which is that even though you're doing new patient lead generation, for example, you've got someone that is running ads for you and you're getting tons of names and leads, then there is a massive bottleneck, which is found in the lead nurturing process. And no one speaks about this because marketing people won't say this because the truth doesn't make them money, essentially. But the truth is that a lot of dentists struggle with lead generation because then it's up to them to convert the leads. And then you're dealing with bad quality leads. I mean, you get 100 leads. Out of those 100, you can only get in contact with 40. Then when you get in contact with 40, 30 of them are potentially broke or a waste of time. 10 of them you can actually book maybe. And then out of the 10, you've got some FTAs and stuff like that. So it's really like a headache and creates like a ton of additional work for front desk. So with the model and what I realized very early on when I started doing this with dentists, not just from my own clients, but from people that were working with, I guess, competitors and then will come to me, they will all have the same story. Yes, I did lead generation, but I didn't make a good enough return on our investment, and I was dealing with very bad quality leads. So the bottleneck is actually found when we send the leads to the dentist. So that's the issue that I had with the traditional way on generating leads and new patients for dental practices, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So you spoke about lead nurturing for a moment. And, you know, again, I live in that space like you do, so I'm very familiar with lead nurturing, but there'll be lots of people who are running a dental practice. They're really not as interested in digital marketing as you or I might be. And the whole concept around lead nurturing, can you just explain to the audience what you mean by that?
Yeah, of course. So essentially lead nurturing, the lead nurturing process is the other part of the equation, which is as important as the lead generation process in order to get a patient. And it is that's what happens after you receive the lead, which is your follow-up process, your calls. You know, you're doing 15 plus cold calls every week to get in contact with these leads, rescheduling, dealing with people over the phone that don't have money, booking them in, all this process that comes after you essentially get a name on a spreadsheet. The process of getting them to show up to your appointment, that's the process of lead nurturing. And this is where the biggest bottleneck is found, and this is where dentists actually struggle. Yeah. Not a new patient lead generation. That's not the issue here. And still, some dentists do struggle with this. But the majority of people that are doing lead generation, they struggle with the lead nurturing process.
Yeah. So just on that lead nurturing process, because one of the things that, again, with traditional marketing, traditional digital marketing, I can't believe I'm saying traditional digital marketing, because for the longest time, we talked about traditional marketing and digital marketing. Now I'm talking about traditional digital marketing. But in that essence, traditional digital marketing would involve essentially someone coming to a website, opting in for something or other, having an email sequence off the back end of that.
Absolutely.
So do you still see merit in that kind of process as well, or is it just not really useful, too long-term? Where do you see that in a modern strategy?
Yeah, so I know we're talking about traditional digital marketing and stuff like this, but I think it's important to difference both different marketing techniques. So just for your audience as well, traditional marketing techniques are like, you know, newsletters, word of mouth, referrals, TV ads, radio ads. These are traditional marketing methods, newspaper and stuff like that. And they're expensive and definitely not as effective because you cannot target your message to a specific audience, right? Yep. The new methods, digital marketing methods, you're talking about social media ads, Google ads, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. From my experience and what I've been able to test, the best is in social media because on social media, we can find the biggest pool of people. So for your audience that is doing social media lead generation and they're running ads on social media or even on AdWords, what they will be doing is they're hiring someone, they're doing new patient lead generation, and then they get a spreadsheet or a Google Sheet and they get sent an email or a text notification with the name of the lead. And then it's up to you, front desk or concierge team or your treatment coordinator, to call the leads and get them to show up to your appointment. So the problem with that model is that, like I said, there is a massive bottleneck in the lead nurturing process, which is exactly what happens after you receive that notification and that name on the spreadsheet. Now, I'm not saying that everyone struggles with this, but a lot of dentists struggle with this. I'm talking about 90%.
Yep.
From the people that I talk to, people that call me, that I've been speaking with today and all this week, that's what they don't like about it. So a lot of marketing agencies will just do this. You know, they will just wash their hands after they give you the leads, and because essentially you're paying for leads, and then it's up to you guys to convert them. But very early on, I realized that people were struggling with this, and I knew that I couldn't build a sustainable and long-term business unless I was helping with the conversion side of things and properly helping with the conversion, not just giving you a script that you can use on the phone, but actually taking care of the entire lead nurturing process, which is exactly what we do here at Dental Boss. apart from generating the new patients, we also do all the lead nurturing, which means that front desk doesn't need to make any calls anymore. They don't have to book the patients. Essentially, you guys just need to service the patient once they're in the door, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And you know, when you think about it, yeah, every business, whether it's a dental practice or a supermarket or whatever, has three functional elements to it. It has, you know, marketing, it has sales, and it has delivery. And what I'm understanding from what you're talking about is you're going to let the dental practice focus on delivery while you take care of the marketing and the conversion piece, which, you know, we're kind of wrapping up in lead nurturing, but you're going to take care of that conversion piece as well, correct?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
So that's a really different model. For anyone listening to this podcast, that's a different model, because what you're now getting is, instead of a phone call and a spreadsheet, you're getting a patient booked in for a procedure, correct?
That's correct. And what's even better than that, Jesse, is that it is not a paper booking. No. It's a paper show, because we can book a ton of unqualified prospects.
Sure.
But then you'll have very high FDAs, failed attempts and stuff. And I knew that was going to be an issue as well. And with social media ads and lead generation, you get a lot of FDAs if you don't know how to handle it.
Mm.
So now that doesn't happen, because the dentist only pays per show. So literally the dentist only pays when the patient is in the waiting room.
Yep.
It's completely different model. It's another beast, essentially. It's different.
Yeah. And so it's really interesting, because again, this is, I think, a radical change in digital marketing and agency work. There's not many agencies that are happy to back themselves on a performance-based issue. Most agencies still do the lead generation. And again, they're not backing themselves, you know, beyond that. So really what I really like about this is the performance-based element. You know, you're happy to back your ability to get someone to show up for the appointment, which is great, because then the practice owner wins, you're getting paid for the work that you do, the patients are coming through, getting the treatment they need. So everyone's a winner. Let me ask you a question. Why do no other agencies do this?
Number one is they're probably not confident that they'll be able to deliver on this model.
Mm.
Then they know they'll lose.
Mm.
And that is exactly why as well, if, like, for example, for any of your audience that is hearing right now, if they're using a marketing agency, a lot of them are probably locked in into a 3-month or up to a 6-month contract.
Mm-hmm.
And for that's just crazy. Mm. Like, I don't agree with that at all. I feel like people that do that, they're probably just not confident enough.
Mm.
That they're going to give their clients a return on their investment on the first 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done that. It's always month to month.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's because they're not doing this model because they just got comfortable and they didn't decide to work harder and innovate to disrupt the industry and provide real value to the client, you know, and they think that they can just go with the regular model, but until someone else comes up with something better, you know, which is exactly what's happening.
Mm.
And now that's one of the reasons. But the other reason why they wouldn't be able to do the lead nurturing is because Dental Boss has a very specific technology, which I think we discussed about the artificial intelligence technology that we have that no one else has, and it's not open to the public. And also because my partner in business as well comes from a dental background at working at top dental practices in Australia. And she's been a dental treatment coordinator and sales, like business development manager, sales representative for some big names in the industry. So she's seen the other side of the equation, and she's dealt with very bad quality leads.
Mm.
And she's, you know, again, essentially converting new patient leads into patients that are going to sit down on your chairs and get treatment done. Mm. So because Dental Boss has those competitive advantages, such as the technology and our experienced dental staff, that is how we're able to provide the lead nurturing process as well.
Yeah. So that's fantastic. So let's talk about that process, mate. And there's quite a few things I'd like to discuss with you. Firstly, actually, I might go back to the beginning. Let's talk a little bit about the social media ads and funnels, et cetera, et cetera. And again, people listening to this show, some will be familiar with funnels, some won't be familiar with funnels. You know, for those listening, a funnel is essentially a series of if this, then that kind of sequences. if the prospect takes this action, serve them this. If they take that action, give them something else, etc.
Absolutely.
And we talk about top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel, right? So top of funnel are colder leads, bottom of funnel are warmer leads, closer to buying, basically. So just to give everyone a little bit of context there. So Will, could you just walk us through the advertising process, what that looks like? You know, whether you're using a lookalike audience, whether you're using cold traffic, what sort of ads are you running there? What's the funnel look like? Oh, you know, I know there's some proprietary stuff around that, but just in broad terms, what's it look like? And then what happens from there?
Yeah, absolutely. So number one, we need to find the ideal patient, mm-hmm. the ideal prospect for any kind of business.
Yep.
And the best place to find them is in social media.
Yep.
And look, people might be doing Google AdWords, and I don't have anything against AdWords. It works fantastic.
Yep.
But the thing is that people that you get through AdWords or Google, these are customers that are a different state of the buying process.
Yes.
These are people that are actively looking for it right now. But you're talking about the only 10% of the pool of potential prospects that you can get. When you go to social media, you can reach out to these 10%, but you also have 90%. You have tons more of people that didn't have the need right now to get the treatment done, but they have the desire to get it done. And through our marketing and our sales strategies, we bring that desire to the surface in order for them to have the need to get it in the moment. So that is why social media, because we can find people that are actively looking for it,
yep.
but also people that weren't, but still have the desire. And you have a big volume of people, a lot of people. So that's why we go to social media, number one.
And is that to do with the demographics and the profiling, the filtering around interest, et cetera, et cetera? If you've got your ideal avatar, you can then marry that through the profiling tools.
Absolutely. So look, the artificial intelligence of Facebook, you guys know Facebook is huge. A giant, huge. These guys invest billions just on their artificial intelligence. It's extremely, I'm always just impressed by the capabilities of it. So by knowing the profile of an ideal All-on-4 patient, implant patient, veneers, or Invisalign, we plug that into the Facebook AI and the advertising platform, which again uses their AI, and we're able to find the ideal customer for these treatments based on their demographics, their interests, and their behaviors, how they're behaving online, their profiles as well. Facebook knows pretty much everything about everyone. And has partnered with some of the biggest data companies in the world to know pretty much too much about us. That's why they've had even locations and stuff like that. But from an from a business owner point of view, it's a blue ocean that you can tap on to get your ideal customer. So that's why we go through social media and we find your ideal prospect, because we're able to detail target them very, very specifically to get them through.
Mm-hmm.
So we find them. Now, once we find them and number one, you have to get the right graphic design and the right, it's a process. It takes a lot of skill to get the correct combination of graphic design, text, and targeting in order for you to find your ideal customer.
Mm-hmm.
Once we show them an image that they familiarize with and grabs their attention, because you want to use that as well on social media, people are scrolling. I can't remember the stats, but people scroll so many times and very fast on social media.
Mm.
So you need a creative, an image that is going to, boom, grab their attention.
Yep.
With that, we stop them from scrolling. With our headline, which a lot of the times has to be a benefit-driven headline, and the copywriting, you get them to click on your ad.
Mm-hmm.
The main objective of a Facebook ad, just to click, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to have all the information. Once they click, they're going to be channeled somewhere. A lot of people are still sending traffic to a website, which is a bad thing to do. And this is marketing 101. My experience, I've tested both. And I actually had a client that he told me that he had tested doing a website versus a funnel, and his website converted better. But it was because he didn't build the correct funnel for it and the right strategy. So then I created a funnel that did better than his website, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So when you send traffic from paid advertising, you want to send it to an online funnel, which is just a fancy word for a sequence of landing pages.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we channel this traffic to a funnel. Why a funnel and not a website for your audience? Because your website, unfortunately, the way it's built, it's more like a brochure and it looks beautiful and it's good for the presence of the practice. And of course, you have to have it. But for conversions, there is so many buttons there. There is so many photos. There is so many different pages. But if you think about it, it's not really optimized for one singular action for the prospect to take. When you send the traffic to a funnel, there is absolutely just one action they can take, which is to apply for a consult, to send an inquiry, to call, whatever it is that you're optimizing for, which in our niche is to apply for a consult with a practice. That's how you're channeling the traffic to a place where it is fully optimized. And that's why we use funnels and landing pages, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And you're absolutely right. Back in the day, before funnels were a thing, we used to build a series of what we'd call mini sites. I don't know if you're old enough to remember mini sites, but because I'm showing my gray hair here. And this is going back to 2008, 2009, before we had lots of good software alternatives that we do now, before the lead pages and the click funnels and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But we'd be building like a mini site around, you know, veneers, or we'd build a mini site around, I don't know, implants or whatever it happened to be. And it was because we didn't have the ability at that stage to have that funnel software. Yes, we could build funnels, but it was not as elegant as it is now. So again, I really, really like the fact that it's very singular in focus. There's one call to action. There's no distractions on the page. You can't go and look at a cat video, you know, all those sorts of things, or you can't go and check out the people on the website, you know, the people at the practice or whatever it is. It's very, very focused. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So, okay. So, we run some traffic to the ad. The ad has got great graphics. It's got good copy. It's got, you know, something that's very clickable. And then we take them to a landing page or, you know, within the funnel that is very focused, as we said. They apply for a consultation. And then what happens in your model that's different to the traditional model?
So with a traditional model of the new patient lead generation through digital marketing, you know, social media or Google AdWords, people will still do this process, right? And they do it, of course, at different levels of expertise and different capacities. But essentially, your prospect will go, they will become a new patient lead after they fill on the application. The application has a series of questions. So by the time they finish the survey, you can understand that you're getting someone that is more interested in your products because they follow a step-by-step process and they've taken the time to become a lead. But once we get that lead, everyone else with the regular model will receive a lead notification and then their jobs are finished pretty much. So the client, the dentist, will receive a new patient lead on a text message and on an email. And the email might have a link to a Google Sheet. And when you click on the Google Sheet, it has all your leads in there stuck together.
Sure.
For you to then call them, et cetera. So that's the traditional way.
So what happens in your way? What happens with that? Once I'm a patient, I click apply for a consultation, then what?
You start getting text messages right, left, and middle, like for everywhere. With our way, which we do the lead nurturing, the client still gets a CRM in which they get all the leads and essentially the client will have the place where they can see all the new patients that we're getting.
Yep.
But our leads go straight into our artificial intelligence technology. So once they go in there, the computer essentially will start talking with them in order to get them to book the appointment and in order to get them to show up to their appointment, essentially. So the thing with the AI technology is that unlike, let's say, Betty from Frontdesk, it doesn't take lunch breaks. It doesn't sleep. So if you get a lead at 8 p.m., you know, someone is getting in contact with them and, you know, it sends you emojis. It's like, I've asked some really tough questions to the computer and it's crazy. Like it can deal with very hard situations. So that's the difference. Instead of waiting for a human to get in contact with them, we get in contact with them right on the spot through text message. So we start the lead nurturing process while there is still a hot lead.
Yep. Got it. Okay. And it's an automated process that happens. And so I'm receiving text messages. At what point do I then talk to a human being about my specific situation?
Yes. So
how do I get converted is what I'm asking.
Yeah, of course. So look, it depends. And we have two different kinds of clients. Clients that want to charge a deposit up front for their consult. And this will cut a lot of the time wasters.
Mm-hmm.
And clients who are willing to just go like that, get more people through the door. And then if they get a high rate of FTAs, then they will introduce a deposit.
Yeah.
In the case that we're doing a deposit, then our patient consultants will get on the phone with them mm-hmm. after the AI technology has started the lead nurturing process.
Mm-hmm.
Once our patient consultants get on the phone with them, you know, these are people that are trained in sales. They've been in the sales industry for 8+ years. They'll give some price ranges, but especially they will pre-qualify them mm-hmm. to make sure that they're a good fit for the practice and they can afford treatment as well.
Yep.
It is in that moment that we take a deposit, and also we can actually book the patient in the books of the client if they want us to.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing then, Will, is that your sales team would have access to the booking system if that's what the practice requested.
Wants to do, yes.
Yeah, if they do, and if they don't, they don't. But then what will happen is there'll be some parameters about when we want to see these patients, you know, what length of time, and that would all be information that your team would have at their fingertips. And yes. Then they'd say, you know, new lead or new, not even new lead, I beg your pardon, new patient, Jesse Green, booked in to see Dr. Smith regarding Invisalign or implants or veneers or whatever the procedure is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and look, it can seem more complicated than what it is, but it's very simple.
Mm.
Let's just say from Monday to Friday, you can see new patients from 3 to 6 p.m.
Yep.
Just block those slots and we'll be able to book people in there. And we have our calendar as well. So then we can manually integrate what we booked in our calendar with what your books have, essentially.
Yep.
So that's how we work around it.
And I'm assuming there's some sort of automated reminder system to get them to show up. Yeah.
Absolutely. The patient even texts us when they arrive to see the dentist.
Great.
So the AI asks them, hey, just send us a text when you arrive so we can wrap things quicker and I can come see you and welcome you. So the patient will literally text us, we're here. And, you know, that's something that we like to do in order for us to know when the patient has actually showed. Of course, the dentist and our client will tell us as well when this person has come.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also our way to confirm that the patient has actually woke up in the first place.
Yeah, fantastic. So here's my question for you, Will, because I think anyone listening to this podcast would go, wow, that's fantastic. That's going to simplify my marketing. I'm going to get a much better return on my investment. I'm going to have the sort of treatment coming through the door that I want to have. And the question I want to ask you is, I'm imagining this type of strategy, this type of marketing is going to be best suited, or correct me if I'm wrong, best suited to a higher end procedure, whether it's an Invisalign, an implant or whatever, something that's got a dollar value attached to it, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, we only sell and work with Invisalign, All-on-4, implants and veneers.
Yeah.
So we only really focus on those big premium treatments and big cases for the practice because are generally the ones that bring the biggest chunks of revenue. And we also charge a per show fee. So, you know, it wouldn't make sense for us to do it if it was a checkup and clean.
And that's where I was going, is that, you know, on the per show fee, it would be crazy to do that. Just, you know, it'd be too much of a loss leader up front.
That's it.
All right. So let me ask you this question then, Will. If people get this right, and I know you work with some people and have got some great results, what sort of things are your clients seeing now? Because again, remembering that if you're an average dental practice owner, you're probably sitting there thinking, oh, wow, yeah, lead after lead after lead is great, but then my front desk gets busy, they don't get to call the lead gets wasted, and I'm spending money, am I getting a return on investment, all the rest of it. So I'm imagining that going through this way, A, you're going to get more patients, B, you're going to have more revenue, more patients of a particular kind, I should say, more revenue, more productivity, more profitability, et cetera, more fulfillment. What else are the practices receiving as a consequence of going down this path versus the old path?
Well, that covers pretty much everything. Essentially, you get a way higher ROI.
Mm.
It creates less work because a lot of practices will invest so much in dental marketing, but then it's creating a ton of additional labor for your staff. Mm. So it reduces the amount of work that your team is doing. It is guaranteed to work in the sense that, and it is risk adverse in the sense that you only pay when the patient shows. So you're only really paying when the system works in your favor, which is a key difference here. Instead of paying a monthly retainer, there is a lower barrier of entry, in the sense that you don't have to sign up a contract. You don't have to pay a big monthly retainer or anything like that. Yeah, and the results of the overall are just much better, because the thing is that when you leave the lead nurturing process on, and this, like I said, the lead nurturing makes or breaks the result, essentially.
Yes, yeah.
When you leave these for to front desk, a lot of the times people at front desk are inundated with different tasks. Mm. You know, like they're having to reschedule people from COVID, they're doing the banking and doing everything. So when you put this amount of work on them, which is not just 1 hour here and 1 hour there, it's a lot of work, then they're not doing their best and being as effective, because they also have a lot of different things in their plate. And they're also not as motivated. So what I guess what I'm trying to say is that if you try to do it and you're doing it the other way, the lead nurturing process is not going to give as good as results if you had an artificial intelligence technology and our system doing all the lead nurturing for you, because it's working constantly and just doesn't stop, which means that you get the our system gets more people to show up and gets more people to schedule the appointments.
Yeah.
So you get more people through the door. Your conversion rates are beautiful. You're making more revenue. You're transforming your practice, essentially.
Yeah, loving it, loving it. And I think there's some real opportunities there for everyone, you know, particularly in those procedures. We've obviously come out of COVID. There's, you know, money that's being spent now. You know, we can argue whether it's a short-term surge in dentistry or whether it's a long-term trend. But what we do know is that people are more health aware than they've ever been before. We do know that with, you know, the airlines being currently locked down or not flying, that people are not spending their money on travel and overseas things. So there is this demand for this type of service. So again, I think that's a really, really interesting thing. Well, we've covered a fair bit of territory today. And one of the things that I always enjoy, probably more than anything in the world, is talking to interesting people who think a little bit differently. And what I really love about what you've done is you've taken the traditional marketing model, you've taken the agency model, and you've turned it completely on its head. And the thing that I think is really exciting about that is it's a clever business strategy, so I salute you for that. But more than that, it's a really good value-add service for your customers. And I think that's a really nice way to be, because your customers are paying for what they get rather than just leads, right? And I think that's really great. So, mate, I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with next, because I love the way you think, and that's really exciting, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think it's, I think it's really important to have a model in which you're fully aligned with your client or your partner. And this is like a partnership, essentially, because with DentalBoss, we have an incentive to get more qualified people through the door. And, you know, like yourself or anyone else, we're ambitious. So we want to grow. So the more people you see and the more conversions you get, the more we're also winning. So essentially we're aligned to push each other further. It's not like people might get compliance with, or might get comfortable with their regular retainer because they know they're always getting there. But I know that if this month I can improve from yesterday and I can get more people through the door and more conversions for you, then I also make more money. So we're fully, aligned. It's a performance-based model.
Yeah. I think I love performance-based, but I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Ladies and gents, if you want to find out more about DentalBoss and their marketing, head across to dental-boss.com/partner and you can have a look and see if that's going to fit your needs. So if you're looking to get more leads, don't think about that. You want more people showing up, okay? You want more people coming through the door ready for treatment. So this is not a leads-based system. This is all about pay-per-show. So if that's something you're interested in, head across to the website and check it out. Will, you've been really generous, as I said, in your time, explaining a lot of things. I love, as I said, the way you've thought about this. I love the fact that you've partnered with, you know, getting the sales taken care of and the nurturing taken care of. I think that's a really holistic point of view. And you're leaving, frankly, the dentist and the dental team to do what they do best, and that is to provide great care to patients. And that's wonderful, mate.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again, Jesse, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/Savvy Dentist.